Let's now pray. Our Father, thank you for how we can come today and to have the mission team going to Impact Africa here. And we thank you for how it's so good for us to be mindful of mission and going in the name of Jesus to share Jesus with others. And we ask that you would bless this message to our hearts, to my heart, to all our hearts as we look at your word. Please would you minister to us by your beautiful Holy Spirit, who is the one who leads us into all truth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever been sent on mission? Ever been sent on mission? My brother has. I wonder if he remembers this incident. We were playing cricket one day in a very tight competition, these two brothers, and I was batting and John was bowling. Anyway, he does his bowl. It was a loose delivery, very well short of the length, and I thought, like any decent batter should do, I'm going to smash this. So I did, and I hit it for a six right over the this fence. Oh, by the way, we were playing in our backyard, and not with tennis balls, but with a proper cricket ball. So this ball went flying over the big tennis court fence, and I landed on the neighbour's roof, and just missing the solar hot water panels. And it made a massive bang. I remember hearing it, just a massive bang. And I thought, wow, what are we going to do now? Well, being the older brother, I thought, hey, John, I'm going to send you over the fence to get the ball. And after coming up with this great mission for John, the neighbour, a grumpy old man, came out of the back door wondering what is going on. So I am sending John over, sending him on a mission, and I'm looking out for John to make sure he's not captured. So he fires the ball, he comes over the fence, and all is good. The cricket ball has been recovered. So let you know, this is before I was a Christian. I don't think in hindsight that was a very nice thing to do. Probably more forcing John to go over the fence. My argument was, well, you bowled the ball, so hopeless ball, so you deserve to go over and get it. But you know, as I think about that mission John went on, I'm so glad that I'm on a mission. I've been sent on a mission, and how good is that? And that happened the moment that I met Jesus when I was an 18-year-old. And today, I'm still on that mission, sent by Jesus. And I'm glad it's not a dubious mission. It's a great mission. I'm not being sent by a dubious brother, but a perfect, great older brother whose name is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in that reading that Naomi brought to us earlier, it says in John chapter 20, verse 21, these words I want to really look at this morning with you. These words are, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Just a short few words that captures so much. So how good it is to have the Impact Africa team here today on a mission. And I want you to hear this morning. You have been sent by Jesus to go. And all those of us here who have come to love Jesus and to trust in Jesus, we're also to view ourselves as sent ones, sent by Jesus into our world. And I want to add this phrase too. We are to be Spirit-filled sent ones as we look at this passage this morning. And I want to give a contrast. We're to view ourselves as Spirit-filled sent ones, no longer self-centered sinners serving ourselves. Nor are we to view ourselves as sluggard saints, warm in the pew. We don't have pews anymore, but the seats. Nor sidelined servants of Christ who sideline themselves because they feel they're inadequate and they feel that they're incapable of doing anything in Christ's mission. We're to be Spirit-filled sent ones who have been empowered by Christ, sent by Christ and filled with His Spirit to do the mission. So come, let's consider John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22, especially this morning. And the first thing I'd like us to do is to consider the setting of these words. And I love doing that. And I love to pick up that this setting here of the words of Jesus are on the very day that He rose from the dead. That's special for me. He said those words, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." They were spoken on the very day that he rose from the dead. And I want you to think about that. Who was this one who was speaking these words? This is the one who conquered death, who conquered the devil, who conquered darkness. And he rose from the dead as a resurrected Christ. And I just think of some of these great verses of Jesus when we think about the resurrection. This one who said to us, as the Father sent me, I also send you. This Jesus, by his resurrection, he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, he was declared the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. And his resurrection sealed our justification. We looked at justification last week through our brother Phil. And the resurrection sealed our justified state before God. That's in Romans chapter 4 verse 25. He was delivered up for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. And his resurrection also affirmed that he lived forever, and he lived forever for his people in order to intercede for us and to absolutely guarantee our salvation. And there's a great verse on that, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. How you feeling? Pretty good, hey? Being a Christian is the best thing. What a saviour we have in Jesus. And of course, the resurrection also affirms to us those words in Philippians chapter 2 that he is the Lord, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In Philippians chapter 2, 9 to 11, we read, therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why am I mentioning all these things to you this morning? Because this is the one who said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Do you feel the weight of those words spoken by our captain and commander, the King? It's not an optional extra. Everyone who has given their heart to Jesus is to view themselves as a sent one. I want to read to you verses 19 to 21 now, because there's some other beautiful things to pick up on as well. So John chapter 20, reading verses 19 to 21. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Twice in this passage, the very first words of Jesus to his disciples were what words? Peace be with you. Have you ever considered how gracious those words are that Jesus spoke to disciples who deserted him in his time of need? To disciples who were full of fear in a locked room, fearful of men. Disciples who were even fearful of Jesus' presence when he came into that room, thinking they were seeing a ghost, as it says in the other Gospels. And his first words to them are, peace be with you. Wow, what a heart Jesus has for us. Such grace. Such a blessing. Peace be with you. I want to just say, in going through this passage, I know in my life, and I imagine in your life too, how often I need to hear through the Spirit the word of Jesus, peace be with you, Ian. Because I get troubled. I get unsettled. I get disturbed. I get shaken. And I need the words of Jesus to calm me down. I need to take into my heart those great words that Jesus spoke from time to time, like these ones in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. But besides those gracious words of Jesus, peace be with you, we do read there in verse 21, side by side, peace be with you, those words by our captain and commander. I love saying that. That's who Jesus is. He's the Lord. He's my King. He's our King. He didn't just say, peace be with you. Gracious words. He also said, as the great God, as the Father sent me, I also send you. How serious do we take those words of Jesus? Do we take them to heart? How do you view yourself as a Christian? Do you see yourself as a sent one? A sent one. Well, let's have a look at what it means when Jesus says, I also send you. Jesus gives these words in a special context. He says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So we're meant to understand that we are sent just as Jesus himself was sent. And there's a beautiful parallel between the two. One of my favourite passages on the Lord Jesus being sent is in 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10. I'm going to read it to you now. 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, in that God has sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Hear those words. They are magnificent words of Scripture. How strong it is where we see the Father's love being mentioned and the Father's love causing his Son to be sent where? To be sent into the world. To be sent into the world. And why did Jesus come into that world? Three great S words. To show us God. To share the gospel. And to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. That's why he was sent. And I share these things with you because when I hear Jesus say to me, as the Father has sent me, I also send you, I get it. I am also being sent. God the Father sent his Son. Now the Son is sending me, his child. Sending me where? Into the world. And what is my mission as I am sent, just like Jesus? It is to show the Son. It is to share the gospel. And it is to save the lost. Except there's a bit of a change there. I cannot ever save anybody by myself. I cannot die on a cross and save anybody. But I can, by showing Jesus and sharing Jesus, help lost sinners be saved. That's who we have become in Christ. This is our purpose, our major purpose here while we walk this earth, before we go to glory. So let me just highlight a few things about showing the Son. And when I look at the words of Jesus, I'm going to start off by saying one of the great ways that we show the Son is by something so basic. We are to love one another. We're to love one another. The greatest thing the Impact Africa team can do is to be so in love with each other, caring for each other, that other people see it. That's how it's meant to be. Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. That is to say, you belong to Jesus, and they see Jesus in you. So do we love fellow believers? And this is always a challenge, like it's so easy for it to go straight over our head. Like, come on, do we actually love everybody here at Bazo? Are there people you don't get on with? That's not cool. You're meant to love each other as Christ loves you. The Bible even says we are to love our neighbour as ourself. Jesus taught us that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Love is meant to be something that we show, not for our glory, but to show Jesus to everyone around us. Love. unconditional love, sacrificial love, a beautiful love. We also show Jesus by being one, by being in harmony. And we do. We pray for the Impact Africa group that they would love one another and be united together in all you do. You're not rivals. You're on one team. And Jesus emphasized this importance of being one in his closing prayer before he's arrested in John chapter 17, a magnificent prayer to his Father, praying for his disciples, praying for us who would believe in him in the 21st century. And his prayer for us was this, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So see how that unity makes people see the reality of Jesus, that he's real, he's seen in his people as we love each other and are united. And of course, the big one I guess we often think about is we are to show the Son by abiding in Christ and allowing Christ to live his life through us. And the words that come to my mind I want to read to you now is from John chapter 15, 7 and 8. And Jesus says there, if you abide in me, that means you cling to him, you remain connected to him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so show yourself to be my disciples. See that again? That showing that happens as we abide in Christ, as we spend time with Jesus, as we walk with him. How we are to show the Son to the world we've been sent to. And we are to share. We're to share the gospel. It's not all about showing or shining. We're to share. We need to be convinced and confident that the gospel of Jesus is our only hope. And we want to share it. We have to share it. That's how we should feel. I think of the Apostle Paul who says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed. And in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, Peter and John before the religious heavyweights who wanted to put them to death, they could not help themselves as they started to speak of Jesus. They said to them, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. We're to share Christ. We're to share who Jesus is. Let's just think what it means to share the gospel. We're to share who Jesus is. Who is he? God's one and only Son. We're to share what he did for us. It's so simple. He died on the cross bearing the punishment for our wrongs. Why? So that we could be forgiven by a holy God. And he rose from the dead to show to the world who he really is. And that because he conquered death, he can give us eternal life. It's as simple as that. This is the gospel. Praise God for how simple it is and absolutely profound. Absolutely profound. But the gospel also includes the response of humans. We need to share this. We need to call people to repent and to receive Jesus humbly as their Lord and as their Saviour. We need people to call on the name of Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we need them to commit their life to Christ as Lord. This is part of the gospel. Talking about repenting and believing in Jesus, I love the words of Paul in Acts chapter 20. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. He's not going to see them ever again until heaven. And he says to them that he was solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Nothing's changed. Our humans try and change this. There's a real trend going on at the moment to get rid of repentance. Because God loves you no matter what you keep doing. It's all okay, just do whatever you want. That's not the gospel. The gospel calls us to turn, repent of our sins, Turn away from this and turn to Jesus. So I want to ask you all, as a sent one, have you been showing Jesus and have you been sharing Jesus with those about you? Often a good test. I remember when I was a young Christian, being very timid and a little bit concerned about sharing publicly. I remember, you know, the pastor would say, wish he didn't say this, but he did, you know. So when's the last time you shared the gospel? And I go, oh, no. Yeah, and I felt convicted because I know deep down what I should have been doing. Fearful of man is not good. When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? Have you been praying for people in your prayer life? You've got a sent one. You've been sent to show Jesus and to share Jesus with other people. That's your mission from the captain. It's not an optional extra. It's not just come to church, sing a few nice songs, get a little pep talk and that's it. We're on a mission. It's exciting. One day we're going to come before Jesus and he's going to examine us and see, well, how did you go on my mission? What mission? What mission? It's clear as. In John chapter 20, it's as simple as this. As the Father sent me, I also send you. At the end of Matthew 28, we call that the Great Commission. We go into all the world and preach the gospel. So may God give us courage to share. The conviction that without the gospel, people around us will perish. We need that conviction. Hell is real. And the clarity to see that the greatest need of our hour right now in our fallen world that's going downhill really quickly is to share the gospel more than ever. This is the time before Jesus returns. So let us show Jesus through our life and share his gospel with those about us in the hope of people being saved. But in verse 22, we're going to look at that now. Jesus knew that it wouldn't be enough just for the disciples to see the risen Jesus, to see the wound marks in his hands and side. It wouldn't be enough just for him to say, I also send you. He knew that we needed someone to help us be on that mission every day. And that someone is in John chapter 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. There it is, the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who effectively makes us live out that purpose of being a sent one. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us to show Jesus and to share Jesus with those about us. It's the Holy Spirit. And I know that this is interesting, this verse 22. When did the Holy Spirit come? In verse 22, it sounds like he came right then when Jesus breathed on them. But actually, it was a foretaste of what was going to happen. How many days after this event? 50 days. 50 days on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after this event, it happened. The Holy Spirit came upon those first believers and they became a changed people, a brand new creation. A people who shone Jesus and shared Jesus with everyone about them. Even in the face of death. That's what I want to be like. And I hope you want to be like that too. This is what we're meant to be. We're meant to be a sent one with the Spirit of Jesus helping us. And I'm so glad that that wonderful experience we read about when the church was born in Acts chapter 2 was not just a one-off experience. We also know that even now, even today, if anybody would call on the Lord Jesus' name and commit their life to him, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, comes into your heart and changes you, and you now become, in the words of Jesus, my sent one. You are now a sent one, saved, but now also sent into my world to help people be saved too. And I just want to read to you Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where it says, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a great gift the Holy Spirit is. And so when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, from that very moment on, And for all of our days here on earth, he is doing a magnificent work, despite me hindering him at times and frustrating him by my waywardness. The Holy Spirit is in the business of transforming us into none other than the image of Jesus, so that we can really show Jesus to the world. Well, we are becoming little Jesuses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we read, "But we all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." From glory to glory. Every day is meant to be an improvement on yesterday. That's how it's meant to be. Becoming more like Jesus. And as a result, really showing him to my wife, to my family, to my friends, to my neighbours, to my work colleagues, to all these people around us. Even without speaking a word. And the Holy Spirit enables us to share Jesus with others. And JP, you read that verse out in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." The Holy Spirit gives us the power to be a witness for Christ, to share Christ with others. All right, so I love how things are kept so simple in the Bible. We don't have to have a complicated sermon. Jesus says to us all, I want you to hear these words, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now, how plain is that? You can't get that wrong, right? And yet many Christians just don't understand that at all and don't even live it out. How can that be? It's so simple. Jesus was sent. We love that. We love the fact that he was sent into our world to save a sinner like me. Well, picture yourself as also being sent by the Son to do everything you can to help people in our world be saved. You're a sent one. But you're a sent one with the Spirit. And what I want to finish on is just to highlight the way we should view ourselves, I reckon, is that we are to be see ourselves as Spirit-filled sent ones. And you've got to keep on making sure that the Holy Spirit has full control over your life to make you to be in the very best place of being a sent one by Jesus. And the words that come to my mind is Ephesians 5 verse 18. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but keep on being filled with the Spirit." And that helps you then become a really well-used sent one by Jesus in his world. So I want to just look at now the Impact Africa team. So on the authority of God's word, Jesus is sending you to Africa. You've chosen to enlist. It's lovely to hear how some of you have decided to go. And I want you to think about that. All the days of your mission, you have been sent by Jesus. You're an ambassador for Christ. It's not a matter of going on a holiday, doing touristy things. You're sent by Jesus with the prayers of your people, supporting and upholding you. It's so important to get back to the real basics. And may the Lord help you to share Jesus and show Jesus to the people you meet. And Bazza, I'm not going to exclude you. Are you saved? I hope you are. If you're not, please, even today, call on the name of Jesus. Give your life to him. No longer resist the call of Christ on your life. And if you have given in to Jesus and you surrendered your life to him, you need to view yourself as a sent one. Here we are, this is a time of encouragement in church, but you go out those doors, you're meant to view the world as your mission. You're meant to remember that you're an ambassador for Jesus. What a high calling you have. You have been sent into his world to show Jesus, to share Jesus, and to help the lost people be saved. In my quiet time this morning, before we sing our last song, if the musicians want to come up, I thought this was amazing. Lord, thank you for this. Not amazing, because God always does this. I was reading from Psalm 67, and it's a prayer. And the prayer is this, Psalm 67, 1 to 3. "God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. And then there's the word Selah, stop and consider. And then it says, that your way may be known on the earth and your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That's our great desire, for all people everywhere to come to know Jesus and to end up being a person full of praise to the great God who has saved us through dying for us and rising again. So let's stand together and we're going to sing together our closing song, O Great God. Let me read to you before I pray those last words that I just read somewhere. I don't know where I put it now. I'll just turn to it. Psalm 67. Wasn't it lovely? Just in a quiet time this morning, just reading those magnificent words and seeing the heart of the psalmist. God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, that your salvation among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Our Father, we know that this is not going to happen unless we take seriously that we are a sent one by your Son Jesus. Because we know that the nations and the people around us are in darkness. Our family, our friends, our neighbours, our community groups, our sports, our mates, our work colleagues, without them hearing about Jesus, they're in darkness. I pray, Lord, in my own heart and in the heart of everyone who loves you here, that we would not be naive and apathetic, but you would help us to realise the great need of the hour. As the devil increases his attack and pulls the world into a darkness that is deeper than ever, we pray for us to assemble, to arise, and to hear the call of Jesus upon our life to be a sent one. Armed with everything we need and filled with your Spirit, help us, Lord, to share the truth, the gospel, to show Jesus and to show him and share him with the world. And we do this in the hope that you will do your special work in drawing people to your son Jesus and saving them. But Lord, right now I just want to take the time to pause and even to think in my own life of people I love who are so lost without Jesus. Lord, help us to really care for them. Give us the courage. Give us the conviction and the clarity to speak to them. And we ask this especially for the Impact Africa team. Even though they're going to meet people they don't know, give them a great love for other people. Help them to love the soul of another and to be able to share into their life the Lord Jesus and to show Jesus by their gentleness, by the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, please would you awaken your church. Please would you help us no longer just be, oh, I don't know, Lord, just being sluggard saints, warm in the seat, being people who view themselves as sidelined servants of Christ because we don't think we're any good. Please would you change our attitude and help us to be Spirit-filled sent ones. Well, please speak to us about this even now, Lord. Please would you change us for the glory of your name, for the salvation of those who are lost. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.